Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
Good morning, Buckhead and Atlanta. Rich Cassett over here. The most exciting part of my week, Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock. And we've got a power-packed studio here this morning with some very interesting guests. And we'll get right into it. But first of all, my co-host here this morning, a good friend. I've known Lewis for quite a number of years. Lewis, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you here this morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich. I'm happy to be here this morning. And thanks for having me. Opportunity. That's what brings me here this morning.
Absolutely. We're going to meet some, not only have some interesting conversations on the air, we had a little bit of chatter beforehand and off the air as well. So it's a great networking opportunity. Absolutely. Now, Lewis, I know you're affectionately known as Mr. Positive and believes in the glass is always half full and the journey is the destination. Lewis states that he'd always be growing and learning and investing in ourselves, refreshing our mind, body, and spirit to take us to the places and successes we are always meant to have. Also, I know you as a speaker. You actually spoke at one of my events, or we've co-hosted a few events in the past. Educator, motivator, coach for many small business owners, entrepreneurs, and individuals. Lewis conveys his passion in teaching people how to live a life that is full of opportunity. You just mentioned that. Through his philosophy of credibility, discipline, and gratitude. Believes in Zig Ziglar's philosophy. You always get what you want in life if you help other people get what they want. And whether you're coaching one-on-one or speaking in front of a packed auditorium, Lewis's engaging style envelops. I was looking at envelopes, but yeah, I believe you mean envelops the audience in a spirit of trust and attitude that's anything but positive. All right. And so, Lewis, now you have, I knew, two passions in terms of business for yourself. Talk to us about Open Door the insurance group, first of all, and then we'll hear a little bit about your other business.
Yeah, well, you know, I do have two businesses, and one I'll talk about first is Open Door Insurance Group. And it's basically helping individuals protect themselves, helping individuals look at what they have in terms of medical insurance, life insurance, looking at the future and how we don't look at the future, we look at the present. And we never know what's going to happen in the future, but by doing some analyzing and finding out what the needs are, people are surprised what they could use in their life when it comes to insurance.
Absolutely. And how long have you been in that business?
6 years.
And as I understand it, you cater to the 50-something age crowd, right?
Yeah, I'm a Medicare specialist. I deal with a lot of older groups of people, 65 and older. I speak all over the metro Atlanta area at different venues such as senior centers, Kiwanis Club.
Anywhere people will listen to it, right?
Yeah, but pretty much.
But also, I don't know if it's a record that you hold or not, but I remember conversations we've had in the past where you've said, you did how many seminars and what period of time was that?
36 seminars in 54 days.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a lot of work. I spoke in front of almost 2,000 people.
Wow.
And it was awesome, but it was a lot of work and you had to stay focused to be able to connect with everybody.
Absolutely. And speaking of businesses and people, your second passion is something I think that's where I originally met you when you were doing some group events with It's a Great Day for Business.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that is a passion of mine. A few years back, I went to a networking event to speak about what is networking. It's a talk I give and what we can do when we network. I think a lot of people show up to an event not knowing what to expect, not knowing what to do. They show up, they pay their money, and then they walk around and then they leave and they say, well, this was good or this wasn't good, and that's it. Well, you know, you need a plan. You need a plan when you do anything. And in networking, you can have a plan. One of the things I tell people is that, you know, look at the guest list before you show up. See who's there. See who you connect with. There are usually at least three people who I like to meet. And that way you can have a plan, because having a plan will set you apart from everyone else who just wanders around hoping to find something. But without a plan, you usually never find it. So 3 years ago, I was giving this talk and someone heard me speak and he just moved here from Chicago. And he met me after, wanted to meet, have coffee. And he was looking at this concept. He's my business partner now, Randall Phillips. And we were talking about, you know, what can we do to work together? He liked what I had to say, and I liked what he had to say. And I've always been open to opportunity. You just never know where an opportunity will fall, but you have to be open to it.
Absolutely. Randall's a great guy. Matter of fact, I was at Starbucks on Sunday and ran into Randall. I'm like, what are you doing up here? And he lives in Roswell, and I was a little out of my territory. But anyway, no, he's a great guy. Saul Sherry there as well.
Yeah, he is a great guy. And we came up with a format, and we've worked collaboratively for the past 3 years now. And this is our third year in business. And what we do are we do events. We invite business owners to come together, and we try to introduce people who may have some synergy to
Absolutely.
Each other, because that's what's important.
Well, speaking of that, we're going to introduce our first guest here in just a moment. But before we leave, Lewis, tell us how our listeners and audience can get in touch with you. What's the best way to reach you?
My favorite way is LinkedIn.
Okay, absolutely.
To just look up my name, Lewis Agudo, and I will pop up.
A-G-U-D-O.
Yeah, that is my favorite way.
Not Arigato, but yeah, that's another.
Or just right. Google me.
Okay, nice. All right. So, Lewis, I want to introduce our first guest here this morning. I've known Mickey for quite a number of years. We go back from when I lived up in North Cobb and you're in Acworth, and now we're a little bit closer in the parts of town these days. And you've been in staffing for quite a number of years. And matter of fact, your international staffing company, we worked together, not really launching that, but I remember when you were segueing into that business and helped you with some tasks you had at hand. But now this partner services in 50 states, 45 countries, where Mickey's a senior partner, most recently responsible for McKinsey & Company, a startup HR consultant project manager for the number one consulting firm in the world for a special product in recruiting and special staffing temps. World traveler, is that you or just what you just help people?
No, that's me too.
Okay, nice. Well, maybe
Navy brat.
Oh, nice. We'll get a chance to talk about that. So you offer the full suite of human resources for Fortune 10 to 1,000 companies, more than 25 years experience. You really completely understand the direct impact of hiring employees for the corporation's image or their culture or whatever, right? Make it a good fit. Ad-libbing here a little bit, but I imagine that's what you do.
Yes.
And so some of your industries are accounting, finance, admin, software, IT, engineering, manufacturing, all the way through human resources, legal services, marketing, advertising, and healthcare. And I love your slogan, your future, our concern, right?
That's right.
Nice. So Mickey, now having known you, how long have you been? You've been in the temp hire business for over 25 years.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's been my life's work, so I love it. I eat and sleep it. In fact, when I was working with the McKinsey startup project, I was available 24/7, and I'm not kidding, because things can happen in Brazil, things can happen in China. So that was a great experience, though. I really enjoyed being that responsible and making sure that everything ran smoothly. And so that's pretty much what I'm about.
Your
so
background.
When I get a company, you know, I make sure that it's seamless.
Now, when you acquire that company or that client, how do you feel you enhance their, you know, their business?
Well, first of all, what sets us apart is the 50 states and the 45 countries. There are not many companies out there that can measure up to that. So to me, that's pretty significant. So we can help any company with one to two persons up to 10,000 or more. So, and my partner, I do have a partner out of California that does all the heavy lifting. So I'm the point person and he has all the money. So
nice.
That makes my life a lot easier.
Absolutely. And in terms of, go ahead, Lewis.
Oh yeah. What makes you unique? Why use you?
Well, let's see. One thing is that the expertise is that I can consult a company from the front of the house to the back of the house in whatever they need, actually. Their strategic planning, I can talk to the CEO or the president, and we can talk about the future of the company. We also have funding, which is a wonderful piece to have for a company that needs to have the money to move forward for whatever projects that they need.
Is that in-house or do you outsource that?
That's with my partner. And he has access to about $100 million, so he's ready to go. You know, he's a person who loves to help companies grow, So we both have that golden thread running through us, and that's why I have him as a partner. It took me a long time to find him, a long time, but he is absolutely fantastic. His organization has about 40 people. So whatever I need, I have at my disposal, including the funding.
And what your slogan, that's very interesting, your future, our concern.
That's right. I live by that. And it's been a wonderful journey for me. And through all these years, and I have held very true and been very sincere about the concern of my companies and the employees, because I want to put the two together and have that synergistic success. And the candidate's future is very important to me, because I'm now on the third generation of my candidates who are now sending their college graduating children to me. And then those have grown up and they're sending their college graduating students to me. So that to me is a testament as to all these years, which I'll just won't mention how many.
That's the ultimate referral network right there.
It is. And it makes me feel really special. Did I know that as a young woman? Because I've been in it since I was about 28 years old. Did I know that that would come back to me and show me, you know, all that I've contributed? No. And now I know I'm in the right place doing the right thing.
It's your passion.
It is.
What would you like to say to the business audience out there?
Well, I would love to receive calls, of course, needing any kind of anything having to do with the staffing industry, anything having to do with payroll benefits. We do have, I believe, the best benefits anywhere. And I believe that whatever a company needs, as I said before, whether it's one or two employees to 10,000 employees, we have the ability to make sure that turns out perfectly well. And if not, you know, we'll be right on it immediately. No phone call waiting, no days at a time when, you know, you've got a crisis. I'm right there 24/7. So that's what's important there. So in closing, I would say that giving me a call listening today would be a smart business move.
Nice. Yeah. If you don't say so yourself, whatever. Yeah. all right. So, Mickey, so how would our listeners get in touch with you? What's the best way to reach you?
I like LinkedIn as well, okay. But I don't mind giving my phone number.
Yeah,
my personal phone number, 770-845-2008.
Cool. And we'll obviously have your LinkedIn information and contact on the website as
great.
Well. So thanks for joining us here today. Now you can just relax and enjoy the rest of the conversation of the show.
Well, thank you. You did a great job.
Thank you. Absolutely. Appreciate it. So up next, Andrew, we've got Andrew Snyder is in the studio. He's president of, did I call you Andrew?
Yeah, I'm Lewis.
All right.
If
everybody in the audience or in the studio didn't give me the eye, I wouldn't have maybe noticed it. Yeah, thanks. There is no retakes here, so we're going to move on. So Andrew, we just met actually just recently, and I think Mickey introduced us. Mickey brought you as a guest to an event we both attended. And you're president and CEO of... It's Noodle IT, not Noodle It, right? I keep wanting to say Noodle It.
No, you had it right the first time. It's Noodle It.
Noodle It.
Think about it.
Okay, nice. Noodle It, Inc. is an Atlanta-based Oracle consulting firm. Noodle It, right?
Correct.
Okay, specializes in, now you got me all nervous, whatever, or concerned. Specializes in consulting on Oracle software, which is used by several local Atlanta businesses to run their back office, such as accounting, procurement, HR, customer relationship management, manufacturing. Oracle makes the software, and Noodle It helps companies maximize the value of their software investment. As the founder, you launched this over 10 years ago, 15 years with of Oracle consulting experience, right?
Correct.
And your past clients include industry leaders in energy, local government, transportation, logistics, health insurance, medical equipment, restaurant, service, kind of pretty much the whole gamut. I'm trying to think of a business you've not had your hands on. From Ohio recently, or a licensed certified public accountant and a member of the Institute for Certified Public Accountants. So welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Rich.
I'm glad you're here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, where are you originally from?
I'm from a small town near Toledo, Ohio, called Napoleon.
Oh, okay.
After
the guy?
The
not the movie.
Guy,
not the movie, right? All right. So we've heard the brand Oracle, but maybe for Lewis or our other listening audience, tell us a little bit, what is Oracle exactly?
Well, Oracle's a computer technology company headquartered in Redwood City, California, and they produce database software, application software, and several other technology products. And at Noodle-It, we just offer the consulting services on their technology.
Okay.
And to put it in a very simplistic way, when companies buy the Oracle software, it's like a big box of Legos, and we help them figure out how to put it together the best for them. And it's different from organization to organization.
Now, I like that as a visual guy. I can kind of wrap my head around that. So what's up with this Noodle-It name?
Well, as you stumbled upon earlier, it is Noodle-It, as in think about it. And the idea is noodle being your brain or your head, mind, and to think through the solution.
And what market does Noodle-It serve?
We serve the local Atlanta Oracle market, where companies that already have the Oracle software, those are our primary customers.
And who are leads for you when it comes to that? How would people recognize that someone is using an Oracle-based software system or a CPA? Would they know?
Well, typically, employees in the organization will realize – they'll obviously know that they're using the Oracle software. Other technology professionals that service those particular companies, like a hardware company that's providing hardware or telecom services, typically we may share leads back and forth because we're not competing with each other. They're offering a different type of service than what we are.
And what industries or types of clients have you worked with or are you looking to work with in the future?
Well, we've done a good amount of work with some local governments here in Atlanta, as well as utility companies. Transportation and logistics is big here in Atlanta. We've done some work in that space along with healthcare. But really, it's not so much the industry specific. For us, it's really around the accounting software side of the business. And that's important because the central theme to any business, whether it's government or private industry, is accounting. Money's got to be collected, vendors have to be paid, and financial reports have to be produced, regardless of the business. And if they're running Oracle, we can help them do that.
And how is Noodle-It different from a traditional staffing firm?
Well, it's led by me, an actual hands-on Oracle consultant, and not just a salesperson that has some buzzwords. I actually know the product. I've been working with it for over 15 years. So I can actually sit down with a client, talk through the challenges, identify the problems, and really help them focus in on the exact issue and help them bring in the right consultant to resolve the challenge.
And does Noodle-It do support in the IT community?
Absolutely.
And how does that work?
Well, a lot of companies, once they get the software up and running, there's only something that's – the business is changing and it needs something. We need new reports. We've acquired a company. We've got to bring them onto the software. Some other changes happen within the business that the business needs to respond to and the software needs to be changed to adapt to. And a lot of companies are consumed with managing the day-to-day. And we kind of serve as an extension of their IT support organization. We can bring in the people or project-based. So you tell us the length of time we're going to need to resolve the issue or work on the project, and we'll bring the resources in and complete it. And if you'd like us to stick around and help with the day-to-day support, we're happy to do that.
How much training do you have to go through? Because as fast-paced as technology moves, I'm sure every year or every month you need to be up to date.
Well, training is a constant effort. Not only are you're reading, staying up to date on the technology through publications that Oracle releases or other industry, but you've also got things like the local users group, Atlanta OAUG, as well as just support blogs and stuff that the consultants get. And a lot of it is when you're working in the technology day to day, you're constantly learning. So it's not only it's necessarily classroom learning as much as it is. It's a new day. It's a new challenge. It's a little different wrinkle that you're going to learn something from.
What is that one business that you would like to connect with in Atlanta that you've been trying to get into? Good question.
Yeah.
Who is that company? Who's that person?
I would say really it's the manager of the Oracle applications inside a mid to large sized organization here in Atlanta that runs Oracle and has had a problem with good IT support for Oracle and needing some really good resources at reasonable prices that are locally based that they could really build a relationship with. We're much more than a staffing company. A staffing company a lot of times is focused on resume keywords, where we're really concerned about what's the actual challenge that we're trying to address here and getting them the right person.
Yeah, speaking of challenges, what are some challenges you experience with your business in either client acquisition or managing your current customers?
Well, in consulting, you're always looking for additional work. And fortunately, I've been very blessed to be well-connected in the Atlanta Oracle market. But there are slow times in that market, and there are ebbs and flows. And so you just have to try to continue on with your traditional things that you do every day, staying connected with people, networking, and delivering good service. And if you continue to do those things, you are going to have slow times, right, but ideally you can persevere through them.
So the slow times, it's not a seasonal type thing. It's just cycles that with the economy and...
Correct. Yeah. You have things like the dot-com boom, or I should say bust,
right,
in the early 2000s, where the economy went down, companies just quit spending money on the Oracle software. One of the things that's happened in the last 5 years is Oracle's come out with a new version of the software, and companies are to some degree being forced to upgrade. So it's kept the consultants like myself very busy.
Yeah,
that doesn't always happen.
Right. All right. So tell our listeners if they want to find out more or get in reach, in touch with you, how would they? What's the best way to?
You can find us on the web at noodleit.com, NOODLEIT.com, or you can call me directly at 678-596-3785.
All right. Well, thanks again for being here. Really appreciate your time, and I hope our listeners enjoyed hearing about Oracle and know how to get in touch with you as well. So, all right. So, Lewis, how are we doing so far?
We're doing fantastic. I got to tell you, this is great.
A good time?
This is great. Yeah, we have some interesting people here. I'm excited to continue going here. And it's my pleasure to introduce Alex Munoz of CSR, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce that?
CSR. I was going to go.
You got the easy one.
Yeah,
sure.
Alex is an Atlanta native. He's graduated from Georgia Tech and has a master's degree in information systems from George Washington University. Spiffy has a 15-year career in manufacturing and financial services. He served as a mentor in the Catholic Charities Leadership Program, as well as the Georgia Tech Mentor Jackets Program. He's president of the Georgia Tech In-Town Alumni Network and an event sponsor for the George Washington University Alumni Association Atlanta Club. He loves taking on both long and short-term assignments. He's able to examine, diagnose, and recommend solutions. And the differentiator is that Alex implements the solutions in order to achieve the desired results for his clients.
That's what I'm missing, the implementation or whatever. Yeah,
that's important. Implementation, you can have all the plans in the world, but if you don't implement, you're never going to succeed. Yep. So welcome.
I think you're saying too many nice things about me because you keep saying Alex. Fortunately, in the past couple of years, we've built out the company. We actually have more Alexes on board than just Alex. So we're a small growing company. We'll be 12 years old next month, and we're real excited about that. We've been able to help a whole host of different companies, mostly inside the perimeter, but here in the Atlanta area to get fixed and grow.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
12 years. That's great. How do you find the right people for a business? How do you diagnose that situation?
how do I find folks to work with me, or how do I find my clients?
Well, a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a real challenge. You have to find the right blend of person who really enjoys engaging with the client, not only on a business level, but on a personal level as well. Because as we all know, we're not just 100% business, and we're all not just 100% personal. We're a blend, and they each interact with each other. Particularly the market segment that I go after, which are companies that are in the $1 million to $25 million space, there's going to be a lot of folks who, when they go home, they don't just hang up their business jacket, if you will, on the door. They live their business 24/7, and they need help that goes even beyond just sorting out their P&L issues. Having the right staff on board, having people that understand that they're going to have to be working after 5 o'clock on the weekdays, and they're going to have to be answering emails and taking phone calls even on the weekends, that's an important piece.
And what are people looking for when they think they should be hiring somebody? What are the triggers that may say, God, I've got to call you?
Yeah, that's a good question. All of my clients are referred to me. Having said that, I spend a lot of time each week meeting with folks and just having a lot of one-on-one conversations. But all of my clients come to me because they were referred to me by either an existing client or a peer service provider that says, you need to go talk with Alex. What we do is we work with companies that are in crisis. The crisis can be of a positive or a negative nature. We work with them to solve their crisis and then grow their business. A typical client profile for us looks like a business owner, got into the business, was excited, went in there with a very specific idea, started growing the business, and they all reach their own points along the way, but they reach a level where they can no longer do things by themselves. And then they either stagnate or, in some cases, they start to go down. We sometimes call it the leaky bucket syndrome, where they've got accounts that are attriting and that are leaving the business, and they're being replaced by new accounts, but they're kind of at status quo because they're not able to continue to grow. We'll come in. I tend to work directly with the business owner. My team will come in and supplement and do other aspects of the business as well, but we explicitly come up with, the C stands for consulting. We'll come in, we'll consult, we'll identify what's wrong. The S stands for solutions. We'll propose a solution. But then instead of walking away and saying, okay, have fun, you know, let us know if you have any questions, we implement it. And that's the results, the R for results.
And is that the monthly term that people would hire your company for, to continue for a year contract, something like that?
Actually, what we do is our humongous contract is a page and a half statement of work that can be canceled at any time for any reason without any notice whatsoever. We'll come in. We do what we need to do. We charge a retainer, but then we combine it with what we call a pay-for-performance component. Solving that problem in the business, identifying a baseline, and then saying anything over that baseline, we share with you on a certain percentage. So all of our interests and all of our goals are in alignment with the business owner.
So really, it's important that you're feeding a sales pipeline for these clients also, because as good as they do is as good as you're going to do.
For some reason, no one likes sales. Oh, I could never do that. Right. I feel so sleazy, et cetera. So one of the first things that we do is we identify, hey, we need to put together a sales pipeline. To be able to do a good sales pipeline, you have to understand who and what you are. What's your business? I'm not a marketing guy, but that's the essence of marketing. Understanding who you are, what your service or your product is, and then finding people, a good profile of somebody who's going to want that. And then you go after those people, because I know this is going to sound super commonsensical, but if you find people who want what you're offering, they're going to buy it.
Even if you do a bad job at it, right?
You know, it's common sense. So we help them with that. We drive the development of that sales pipeline and we grow the business.
Now, for some of our listeners that are small business owners, you know, how do you help them achieve their goals, or what tips or pointers give along that line?
A lot of times, many people get into the business, again, without any real intensive forethought or planning. So as we're going in and we're solving that immediate hurt, that immediate pain they have, because if somebody has a broken leg, you can't talk to them about how great the hike in Paris that they're going to go on in 5 years when they're on their dream trip is going to be. They want to have that leg healed, and they want some drugs so that they feel better. So as we're solving their immediate hurt, then we start with the process of doing the underlying planning. So it's going to be, where do you want to be 5 years from now? What are your ultimate goals? Do you want to sell the business at some point? Do you want to leave it to your kid? Do you want to have maybe an equity sharing event with some key staff? What do you want to do? Because each of those paths require different steps and different actions to take.
Do you find that that is an issue with a lot of business owners that you come into, that they don't look at the future? They're just stuck in the day to day?
They started off with a dream. The hassles of running a business is what ends up being the distraction and making them forget why it is that they did this. And so what we do is we strip those things off of them so they can run and they can be exactly who and what it is that they originally went in the business to do.
Well, I'm not an expert on this, but I've heard a number of people say that as business people, entrepreneurs, we get so passionate about, you know, what we're excited about in our business that it sounds kind of counterintuitive. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong or agree with me, because I am the host. So I think you need I would recommend you agree, but that's just me. Is that but as a business person, you need to enter the business. And Danita has, we'll talk with Danita about this. I'm sure she has some thoughts on this, but the entering a business with an exit strategy in mind at the forefront, right?
If you don't have a plan, I can guarantee you that you're not going to get to where you want to get to.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be complete random coincidence if you do. So yeah, a plan is essential. You got to have it. And you know, I tend to be really focused and I tend to have a lot of energy towards helping and driving my clients to get there. But they all want it. They all jokingly say, yeah, you know, it's, you can be a little bit too much sometimes, but you know, by God, we're making progress. And when I look at where we were a year ago, it's night and day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Andrew was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, cycles in business and timing. So would you consider this or a good time to start a business? I mean, given the economy or what's some...
It's always a good time to start a business.
You're not a salesman, are you? Yeah.
You know, it truly is, because again, if you've identified that you have something that people want, they're always going to need to buy it. They just are. And so the key is understand what the environment is and understand where people are in their ability to buy things. Obviously, if economic times are tough, you may want to rethink going for a high-end luxury item, unless, of course, you know, you've identified that segment of the population that is going to continue to buy those things regardless of whether it's the Great Depression or not.
Kind of rule number one, know your audience, right?
That's
know
it.
Your customers.
That's right.
And we were talking about technology earlier as well. I don't think this is overstated with Atlanta being the new Silicon Valley, really, of the Southeast. I mean, we're right here in Buckhead. ATV, Atlanta Tech Village, is just huge. I mean, what's your take on that?
On technology?
Well, on being the new Silicon Valley, Atlanta.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, I live in Morningside, Virginia Highland area. My son goes to Georgia Tech. He's a freshman there. And I've been going back and forth now for a couple of years recently. And I'm just blown away by all the work that they've got ATDC down there as
right,
well.
Yeah.
One of the things that also is important is that a lot of people don't realize what a hub for the health IT business Atlanta is as well. There's over 100 different companies in this area. This is the place to be. I mean, the one thing that I think that we're missing that I know people are working on is creating an infrastructure so that after people get to a certain point, they don't feel like they need to leave and go to California
right.
or elsewhere. They've got the ability to continue to be cultivated and funded.
Good point. Yeah, I can see that. Now, what's this idea targeted sales versus a shotgun approach? I mean, are there, you know, plus and minuses to that? Or what's your thoughts on that as far as approach?
Well, as you can probably guess,
it's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
Yeah. I'm a straight shooter. You know, I'm an advocate, obviously, of more of the rifle approach. I think that particularly small businesses, which is where I make my home, small businesses don't tend to have a humongous amount of resources. They're not going to be able to go and afford a shotgun approach like maybe a larger company could. But even in a larger company, I advise some of my larger guys that are over 10 million, there's no need to go and spend unnecessary dollars when if you've done a good job of your homework and understanding who your clients are, go and pitch those guys. I mean, let that be what funds your business. Let that be what funds your growth. I definitely am not an advocate of a shotgun approach, although I'm sure that there's good applications of that in specific industries.
Yeah, maybe if you're in the rifle business or something.
Well, you know, right on.
So tell our audience now again, how would they get in touch with you? Best way to reach you?
Sure. Our website is expertiseinresults.com. expertiseinresults.com. And of course, LinkedIn is a great way to look as well. My last name is spelled MUNOZ.
Cool. Well, pleasure to have you here. Really enjoyed the conversation and maybe continue this off the air.
Likewise.
All right. So, Lewis, we have our next guest up is, I consider, are we friends, Bob? I'm a little.
I think so.
Okay.
Really
yeah.
Sure,
we know each other for a while. Actually, I don't know if you're going to have time to touch on this, but I know where we originally met was the BBG, right, which is the Buckhead Business Group. And one of the core founders, co-founders of that organization, and it's a phenomenal group. I've always been impressed with the work they've done over the years. It's a very unique environment for a business people to connect. It's I do a lot of networking. It's very different than most. Now, Bob has been providing Atlanta area businesses with solutions for their telecommunications needs since 1984, when the first fax machine, before fax machines, maybe, who knows? Yeah. So his firm, Fulton Communications, is number 1,409, if you're taking notes, in the Inc. 5,000 list. That's pretty impressive. So you crack the top 1,500. It's one of only less than 1,500 companies globally. So, but they're based here in Roswell. They are Mitel's vertical number one partner in North America. And we've known each other for a while. I went to your website recently, doing a little of research for the show and getting your posting up for the for our program. And I didn't realize the stretch that y'all had beyond y'all. We're definitely in the South. Y'all have beyond the South or whatever, yeah, where they talk differently around the country. So so tell us, first of all, where are you originally from? What's your background?
I'm from Atlanta.
Okay.
I grew up here, just south of here, actually, at Peachtree Hills.
So. Okay. Well, so pleasure having you here this morning. And Fulton Communications, tell our the audience here and our listeners a little bit about Fulton.
Sure. Fulton is 19 offices in 10 states. We're everywhere from Texas, Arizona, Ohio. We basically go where we have personnel and expertise that can support the kind of sales that we want to make in the telecommunications business. We're the number one Mitel provider in the country. We're also the number one vertical provider. There's two different systems overall. Sorry about that.
No problem.
So we've been doing this for quite a while. We were originally founded in 1964, and our growth really started in 2006 when Ben Treadway took over the company and started the growth going.
And what's your relationship with Mitel?
Mitel is one of the top three manufacturers in the world of telephone systems. We're their number one provider. Their communications products basically serve anybody between 5 phones up to 10,000 phones. Some examples of some large customers we have the Atlanta Merchandise Mart and the World Congress Center.
Wow. So game over. You can take the rest of the day off.
That was a while back, Rich.
Yeah, not exactly. Yeah. So being number three, so chances are if you're running a business at one point or not, you've had those products in your organization, I would imagine.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And what does vertical bring to the telecom?
Well, Vertical is a newer product. It was founded, it was actually funded by LG, the electronics manufacturer. They took three different manufacturers together, molded them together, and put together a platform that includes all the applications that we're getting used to seeing in the telecom world, like unified communications, ability to see your emails and voicemail on the same page at the same time, ability to see who's on the phone, who's not on the phone, record all of your phone calls, be able to keep track of everybody inside your organization, how many calls they're taking, making, how long they're on the phone. All that's built into the same platform without having to buy different pieces of equipment, different servers, different licenses, different everything else.
So no coincidence between 1984 and Big Brother kind of stuff going on. It sounds
not for
like.
Me, but 1984 was vastly different in the telecom world, as you can imagine. I mean, at the time, I'm going cold calling down the street and saying, "Hey, you want speakerphone, speed dialing, and conference calling?"
Right.
And I can save you $30 a month. How's that sound to you?
Right, I'm in. It's amazing. Just what you've seen in just the time that you've been with the organization and company, right?
Yeah, it's dramatically different over the years compared to what it used to be. And, you know, the breadth of what you have to know to be in this business now is staggering sometimes. I feel bad for the new people we bring on board. You hire a fresh grad, and it's literally a year before they even know what the heck's going on.
You're like a walking CPU between your ears there or whatever, right?
I don't think I'm quite that good.
Well, you know, this space is very competitive. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourselves from the competition?
That's a great question. And, you know, a lot of people think that if you buy the right phone system, that's all you really need to do. And it's a lot more important who you buy it from, because the training and the implementation of that phone system will make all the difference in the world of how you actually put that system in. And how it works for you, what benefits you get, how much money you can save or make from the phone system itself. And a lot of times people just, they see the name Cisco, ShoreTel, Avaya, Mitel, and they think, okay, they're all great. They're all been around for a long time. But to me and to my organization, it's much more important about who you bought it from and how they're going to handle it for
you. So is your company there to support?
All the way. We'll make sure that once you decide to go with us, that we'll train you from start to finish on the program, where you'll know it exactly, the entire system. We'll implement it properly for you. We'll be there in case anything goes wrong in the long run.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. When will a fax machine go away?
It is so close. I mean, we're so, so close. It's unbelievable. I mean, the fax machines are still there, but I mean, do we really need them at this point?
It's still mind-boggling to me with all the technology we have and all the experts we have here in the room and just what you've seen. But still, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day. Think about the fax machine, that you can take a piece of paper, slide it into a machine, and in real time across the globe, somebody else in Uzbekistan can read word for word what was just sent through a spinning satellite around the world. You know, I mean, is that just me, or is that still – I mean, I'm not trying to bring the fax machine back or whatever.
Well, you know, even in my industry, Rich, in healthcare, a lot of applications still have to be sent by fax.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't scan it, even if you have a encrypted email, still fax machine. So it's crazy.
So cloud technology, I guess, is the newest wave in right. You have a seminar?
Yeah, we've got a financial services seminar coming up, but we do lunch and learns on a fairly regular basis at Maggiano's here in Buckhead on March 19th, which is a week, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And we're going to focus on the cloud technology and how to put the application in the cloud. There's really three ways to have a phone system now. You can have, everybody knows the old premise-based system that sits in your office and you've got cables to go to it. You can now also obviously have a hosted solution that there's a lot of providers out there. Everybody and their brother seems to have a phone system they want to give you the phones for, and they're going to charge you a monthly rate forever. And then the third option is one that we're really highly promoting, which is a private hosted solution. That's where the phone system sits in a colo or into your main office, and you're able to control costs and be able to have that system where you own it after a certain period of time or right off the bat if you want to.
I think, I mean, you kind of touched on an important thing is a lot of times we get these gadgets or gizmos, but if you don't have the training, I mean, you bought all these features, and unless you have somebody that really not only knows what they're doing, but can convey and help the staff really take advantage of it, because otherwise you're spending money that you're not really utilizing.
How would a business owner know that?
Well, I think
they need an upgrade to their phone system.
I think it's really important to, you know, whenever you put a phone or look at a phone system or consider getting a phone system, you think about the customization of that system, how it's going to work for you, what's going to happen with your individual people, how can I best get the most out of my people every day? And that's what we try to do all the time. We're going to basically come in and do a complete needs analysis assessment of your company, find out where your weak spots are, what you're not getting out of your current system. And then what we're going to do is we're going to implement the phone system in the right way. We're going to customize it, make sure it does what you want. A great example of that is a company called Cary Street Partners. They're a financial wealth management firm based here in Buckhead. They have offices, about 22 offices around the country. And they're able basically from any one phone, from any one laptop, see exactly what's going on with anybody else in any other office. Are they in a meeting till 2 o'clock? Are they on vacation? Are they in transit? Are they available on the phone? Can I chat with them? Can I email them? Can I talk to them? Can I video conference them? All these things are available to you if you have the right tools and the right implementation.
Absolutely. Now, I'm in the studio. I'm holding up this flyer as if everyone in the air can see this or whatever. But, so Maggiano's, it's on the 19th of March.
Yep.
And this is cloud technology seminar for specifically the financial services industry.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
We're going to have the vice president of Mitel will be there to talk about how specifically Mitel's applications work. And I'm having two customers, Cary Street Partners and Lakeview Capital, come and talk about their experiences with our system.
So how would folks go about registering for that or finding out?
The easiest way is to simply link up with me on LinkedIn,
okay.
Bob Ingram at Fulton Communications. You're also welcome to send me an email at bingram@fultoncommunications.com, or you can call me 404-934-7007.
Look at that, the phone guy giving out a phone number. You got to love that,
right,
man. Yeah.
That is right.
You should lead with that, yeah.
I like the 007.
It's pretty sweet. So real quick, tell us about the Buckhead Business Group, because that's a great organization as well.
Yep. Robert Powell, Charles Beard, and were the founders of the group, and they invited me as their first member. Charles is with C.B. Richard Ellis. Robert is with Earthlink. And we were trying to find ways to network effectively without having the pitfalls of a lot of other networking groups. We kept finding a lot of people would go to networking groups just to show up, and they'd be willing to pay their fee, and they'd come every time, and they really wouldn't participate at all. So we decided we wanted to do something a little different. So we started one where there were no fees. It's all inclusive as far as the type of person could be in the group. We have one of each industry, so to speak. There is a little overlap, obviously, with it. But it gives us the ability to be able to get rid of people we don't like or we don't think are doing a good job. I'm the membership director, and if you keep showing up and you're not participating, I just basically say, I'm sorry, we can't use you anymore.
Or you move the meeting to another location or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, we've done that too. So we do both ways. We do have after-hours meetings once a quarter where we invite everybody and their brother to come. We want as many people as possible. We usually do it at Whitehall Tavern down in Peachtree Battle Shopping Center. And then we have biweekly meetings for the inclusive group, so to speak.
Great group. So, I would encourage listeners and as well as our audience to check out the Buckhead Business Group online as well. So, Bob, thanks for being here again. Appreciate your time. And
appreciate it, Rich.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoyed the conversation. So, Lewis, we have our final guest here this morning.
Yes,
and,
we do.
Who do we have?
My pleasure to introduce Danita Harn. She has extensive experience and expertise in both ongoing operations management and corporate growth. In her career, she's implemented a wide variety of processes, procedures, and workflow methodologies to improve profit margins and effectively grow books of business. She's owned and managed businesses and possesses over 15 years of hands-on experience. Danita created programs for customer service organizations that won national awards out of 1,800 other companies, and she's been featured in customer service magazines and in various business-based commercials and articles. And it's my pleasure to introduce Danita Harn. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
So Harn and Associates Back Office Solutions. What exactly is that? What does that mean?
What does it mean? We get that question a lot. Essentially, for companies that are $35 million in revenue up to or down to startups, we outsource anywhere from their accounting, their HR, their payroll. We do light business consulting. We work with other companies and pair up these business owners. But we help them with strategies to grow. As some of the other speakers were saying earlier, the business owner must have a strategy. So we help them keep on point with the strategy to grow, exit the company through maybe an acquisition, a merge, a sell, or to obtain funding. So in those preparations, we help them prepare for due diligence, maybe an audit checklist, perhaps a funding checklist. So every step a business owner takes, they have to pay somebody to help them. But we help them hourly, as needed, with a level of expertise that you can't hire on the free market. You just can't afford it when you're under $35 million in revenue. And along with that, we also help them strategize future forward. So if they do obtain funding, they do experience rapid growth, they do increase their business enough that they've got money in-house, that they're very careful in how they spend it, and they have a real clear strategy moving forward to grow their business so it doesn't get out of hand.
And do you help with that in growing their business?
Absolutely. We do a lot of different things. Once again, pairing them with experts, such as, you know, some of the speakers before each has a different line of expertise that we can introduce them to different clients. But we help them from the simple standpoint of, you know, how are you going to spend your money? What type of funding do you need, if any? What network do you have that you can tap into? You know, we create a lot of different methods for them to grow. And when it comes to funding, what do you need to look like when you get there? A lot of people today seem to think that you can just walk up and introduce yourself to a funding company, introduce yourself to a, you know, a bank or you know, an investor and get a loan. And it's absolutely not like that. So we work with funding companies to help vet deals. So we might be on site to, you know, hired by the funding company to see if this is a probable deal or not. We work with the clients to find the right type of funding. I helped found the Georgia Crowdfunding Association because I was looking for different ways for people to be funded, companies to be funded. And then what do they need to look like when they get there? Funding's not free money, and it's not to secure somebody's job. Funding is supposed to return an ROI for everybody. And if not carefully articulated on the front end and executed on the back end, everybody will lose and everybody will be back out to market in just a short matter of time.
So why are the human resources in business important?
You know, people, I always watch Delta lay off people in droves, and I'm thinking, gosh, don't they know someone has to hand out the peanuts? People are your direct catalyst to revenue. They are your direct catalyst to your spend. They're everything in your organization. Mickey knows, first and foremost, that people are critical. They can cost you clients. They can cost you money, and they can become a liability, or they can be absolutely the biggest asset in your organization. How you teach them and how you scale is everything. You know, historically, in my past, I did business turnarounds and I cut my teeth on a casino. I realized what people meant there. Good and bad. So what I'll say with that is that it taught me about if you want to take a bad situation that's highly litigious and you want to turn it around to be highly profitable, it's 100% through your people. You have to get in the minds of your people and you have to understand what their needs are, what their pain points are, and you got to sell to your people in the organization so that they can then go sell to the clients. So in doing business turnarounds and then turning around to where we are today, we wanted to help organizations get in front of that. And what do they care about? Well, they have to have someone keep their accounting. They need to count the peanuts that are coming in and the peanuts that are going out. So in doing financial turnarounds, we needed to understand, you know, really how do business owners not get here? So I went into corporate America. Very humbling experience for an entrepreneur, by the way. I went into Harley Davidson to implement HR. I went in as a regional HR manager. I wanted to go to the hardest place in the world to implement HR and make it happen and make them like it. Well, that was a great experience from the simple fact of the business owners didn't want to do HR either. But when you're given a mechanic a review and the mechanic makes a mistake and the front tire falls off the motorcycle and the place gets sued, you got a problem. How do you minimize that? Through HR, through good reviews, good training, good follow-up, and a good relationship with the staff. Then you execute a better product.
What is your biggest strength in dealing with companies?
Well, I have a great team. You know, when we start the HR process and we go through the resumes, we get about at least 200 resumes for every job posting. People are out of work. They want to work. What we offer is attractive, so I have to vet that. The way we start is I send them a very complicated test and I attach the answers. If they don't tell me the answers are attached, you're already out. It's an integrity issue. So the team I have is incredible. We've got really good people that really, frankly, care about these companies probably more than the business owner. You know, I think it's Alex, right? Mm-hmm. To your point earlier, the business owners are saturated. Their thoughts are diluted. They're into their business up to their neck, and they really can't think anymore. They stop finding the business. They're grinding it. So we try to help them as well, clear up some of the confusion, bring in people like any of you folks to help them as well so they can better execute. So the biggest asset that we have is we can help clear the mud, help them see better, and keep them on point for long term. We can scale with them, and we can help them see that pretty consistently.
Now, this idea of funding, I mean, mm-hmm. do you help companies with proof of concept in terms of some of these startup organizations, or where do you come in mm-hmm. a startup scenario?
It's a great question. So in the startups that we work with, we choose 2 out of 5 that come to us. So we're not taking just anybody. You must first offer your own sweat equity. It's going to take you 18 months to get a company up and revenue positive and actually have a company that you know can sustain. If you're not willing to put that into the organization, then we're not willing to work with you. So that's a vetting process on the front end of the entrepreneur and the owner themselves. When it comes to proof of concept, our expertise only goes so far. So we're going to pull in other experts in the market and help them further prove that. What we care about is what's the report card look like, meaning the financial statement. And with that, we can introduce them to funders.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I want to find out a little bit more about the Georgia crowdfunding organization,
uh-huh.
right? Gene was just here last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but first, I know we met originally at a Shark Tank series that you were on a panel and mm-hmm. Hosting. I don't know how actively you're involved mm-hmm. with that group, or tell us a little bit about
that. So to me, what matters, my company is named after my grandfather, Wade Harn. He ran for state senate way back when, and he was all about creating jobs. My father and my mother, same thing. They were entrepreneurs as well. So I named my company Harn and Associates because I'm proud to bear their name. They care about small companies. When crowdfunding became legal in Georgia, meaning the Invest Georgia exemption was passed, we coupled it and married it with Kinganomics in Washington, D.C. with Rodney Sampson at the
Ohio. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We went to Washington, D.C. to rebirth the Poverty Institute, which said that crowdfunding could help companies fund so they could create jobs. We rebirthed the Poverty Institute, and the Shark Tank was there. Rodney Sampson helps vet minority-owned businesses to go on the Shark Tank, and I worked with Rodney both at Kinganomics and at the OHUB in Atlanta, which is a business incubator as well.
Yeah. And are there any stories locally of some folks that have gone on to Shark Tank or products or services we might know or something?
There are a lot, and I would task everybody to watch the show, but also don't get too caught up in the buzz. There's a lot of companies that are under the radar that are really – they're getting funding. The first equity-based crowdfunding event went off without a hitch for a guitar company here in Atlanta. Very proud of them. There's a lot. There's 4 different types of crowdfunding that you can do. I don't think it's all the answer. I think it has its place and its purpose. But the basis of any funding, crowdfunding, VC, EB-5s, Quelic Bs, doesn't matter. The basis of it is good business practices. You've got to get your books clean. You have to be ready for an audit, due diligence, the whole gamut.
Yeah, you just can't have a great idea and a business card. And it's right. Like, give me money. Like you said earlier, you just can't expect money to come to you.
Revenue positive.
Yeah, and what is the time frame? Say someone wanted to get funding or say they needed help in changing that book around to be able to access money. What do you look at?
That is an excellent question. It depends on the status of your business. If your books are the shambles, you forget it. Go to family, friends, and fools.
Right.
Max out your credit card.
All
you
the
put
same,
yourself
yeah.
you're behind. You cannot drive your business in a rearview mirror. So you've got to, to Alex's point, you've got to stop grinding in the business, stop minding it, and get out there and find business. You must sell. Keep your head above water, stay focused, and let the experts do what they're supposed to do. So if your business is it's got good business practices in place that could pass a due diligence checklist and a funding checklist, that you're attractive to a funder, then your best bet is to go out and check your options. And that's where your shotgun theory might work, because you do need to go out and figure out what's best for you. Don't be desperate. Don't just take somebody that's going to ask you to dance. Go and check your options and take the most handsome guy or pretty woman. You really need to check your options when it comes to funding. So I wouldn't get in a rush. If you're in a rush, get a consultant and figure out what you need to do to get in front of your business, because you put yourself in a really very bad situation.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Shark Tank. I may have watched just about every episode, right? And sometimes some of the takeaways that mm-hmm. and at your events, I've noticed as well, the interaction, I see that entrepreneur is so overpassionate. It's like a tree in the forest and the coach or the angel investor potential mm-hmm. will say, this isn't happening. You've put 3 years into this. And you don't have any customer base. You don't have any, there's no proof of concept. There's nothing going on here. There's a certain point that you need to move on. And that's a tough conversation to have with that
really
individual,
is.
I imagine, right?
The biggest question they always ask, the common denominator, is how do I make money? Not how do you make money.
Right.
How do I make money? You got to remember that as a business owner. Nowadays, you can't really get a bank loan. Right. And if you're getting a bank loan, you really probably don't need funding because you're healthy enough. You should have your legs under you. Yeah. So with that said, how does a funder make money on you? So we help clients across the nation, coast to coast, north to south. And we do it from where we are because it's all about doing smart business, good connections, and answering the question from the onset of how does anybody who connects with your business make money? If your objective is to sell, the person that's buying you wants to know, how do I make money? If your objective is to acquisition, you know, whatever it is, how do they make money so that they can pay for the next steps?
So finally, on this due diligence, what would be two takeaways that you'd like to share on this checklist? What's maybe the top two?
The top two?
Yeah.
Checks and balances. You know, you really need to pull a due diligence offline. There's Carolina Financial. There's a ton of funding companies out there that have a due diligence checklist online. Pull it down, see how close you are, and get there fast. You know, really check yourself. And then separation of duties. The same person that's running your payroll should not be booking it. I promise you, you're setting yourself up for either critical errors, you're setting yourself up for fraud, but you will never pass an audit.
Wow. That's a wealth of information right there.
Yeah, no, it is. I have one more question, and that's when you're dealing with these small business owners. One of your challenges must be getting them out of their emotional state of mind and getting them back to a rational state of being because it's their baby, and why wouldn't someone lend me money?
You know, some funding companies have positioned us to go on site and check their model. And if these funding companies are putting in $2 million, $10 million, $100 million, they take it pretty serious. The business owners get offended when we're needling them. So one of the first things I tell them is this is a partnership. How do you want your dreams to come to fruition? Through a rearview mirror, which means it's going to be a little bit salty, not going to go well, plan on some headaches. It's going to get a lot harder than it's been in the past. Or do you want it to be smooth? Do you want smart money? And if you want smart money, you must step up to the plate. You got to get as smart as the people around you.
Yeah.
All right, Danita, really enjoyed this conversation. It's got to learn even more than what I thought I knew. And so really appreciate your time being here. Tell our listeners once again how it's the best way to get in touch with you and maybe get engaged with Georgia Crowdfunding or your organization.
Georgia Crowdfunding has monthly events that we're holding. I'd encourage everybody to come, at least get educated on the process, get to know people. It'll be monthly. You can see that at GeorgiaCrowdfundingAssociation.com. You can reach me through LinkedIn, Danita Harn, H-A-R-N. Yes, it rhymes with darn. My website is harnandassociates.com, and by associates, I mean great people. My personal cell phone number is 678-313-4083. And I'd love to talk to anybody.
So your email wouldn't be D Harn, then, would it be?
It is D Harn, not darn. To be confused with darn. Darn. That's right.
Welcome to the South. All right. So I want to thank all of our guests for being here this morning and really enjoyed this conversation. I learned a lot and I hope you all did as well. And so we're excited and we'll hope to see you all next week, 10 o'clock Tuesday morning at Buckhead Business Radio X. See you next week. Tune in and have a great week.